Well, bless you, beautiful hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Genesis chapter 12. I was looking at God's love, and we talk about God's love as being unconditional. But there are other terms that we can also describe God's love in, like expansive, like inclusive, on a greater scale, that we can see the beauty of God's wonderful love. In Genesis chapter 12, I wanted to begin this and share with you so you can understand how God's love is ever inclusive, ever expansive. His blessings are ever inclusive and ever expansive. And we'll begin here in Genesis chapter 12. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Abram, of course, is Abraham. His name was later changed by God to Abraham. Abram means, some theologians put it as the father of height, but actually it really means high father, not father of height. He's the high father. And when his name was changed to Abraham, it was father of many nations. That's what Abraham means, father of many nations. So he's the high father, but even more inclusive and more expansive, he is the father of many nations. So I wanted you to see that. Now, it says in verse 2, "And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be" what?
Blessed.
Blessed. All the families of the earth. So it's more inclusive and more expansive. You see that? And it's beautiful because it goes from taking and talking with Abraham all the way out to the whole world. That redemption of the whole world is formalized to Abraham in a covenant, and part of it is here. And he repeats that four times, twice to Abraham, once to Isaac, and once to Jacob, to show you that it is expansive and it is inclusive. So let's keep looking here. And it says in verse 4, "So Abraham departed to as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son." It's his brother's son. It's his nephew. "And all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, that went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came." So, it's Abraham, his wife, his nephew, and they're going into Canaan, but he's also taking with him other people. You see that there are other souls that are not of Abraham's lineage. So it's a more inclusive and a more expansive group that's going with him. And later on, he goes to Egypt with Sarah in Genesis chapter 12, and let's go to verse 10. We'll drop down to verse 10 here. It says, "And Abram journeyed going on still toward the south, and there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt and sojourned there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he had come near to enter into Egypt, he said unto Sarah, his wife, behold, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." She was a beauty. "And therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." So say, "I pray thee that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into what?
Pharaoh's house.
Pharaoh's house is an inclusive thing, because it's not only the men of Pharaoh's lineage, but now he's also got Sarah, and I'm sure he has other people that are not related to him and all these other things. So when we're talking about Pharaoh's house, it's a bigger thing. Same. But then it says in, that's what I wanted to show you there. And then in verse 16, it says, and he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and he had asses and what?
Men servants
and maid servants and she asses and camels. So here's Abram, and he's got men servants and maid servants. An indication, is that exclusive or inclusive? It's more inclusive. Is it more expansive or more restrictive?
Expansive.
It's more expansive, right? It's because it's with God, everything is always more inclusive and more expansive, or less exclusive and less restrictive, to put it another way. Now let's go to chapter 13 and in verse 1. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south, even unto Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Beth and Hai. So Bethel and Hai. So there's just a development here. Now let's go to verse 5. It says, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Is this a more expansive situation? Or a more restrictive situation?
More expansive.
It's expansive. Is it more inclusive or more exclusive?
Inclusive,
sure. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle, and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let not there be strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I'm going to go to the left. So you have this situation where God is blessings on them just continue to be more expansive and more expansive and more expansive. So they're at this point, they're sort of busting at the seams. You get that? Now it's more than Abraham and Sarah and Lot. We're getting way past their lineage, and there's all these people, but they're all together, but it keeps expanding and expanding and expanding and expanding. So they decide, well, we need to divide this up so that we can continue. Which is, in a way, is a good thing. It's not getting more restrictive. It's getting more expansive, and they need to take care of it properly. So that Lot and Abraham grow so much that they develop into two separate things. In regard to the maidservants and the manservants, we need to read something. In Genesis 15, because I want you to see this. In verse 2, it says, and Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of where?
Damascus.
So I want to make this clear that there are other people involved in this situation. It's one big thing. It's all part of Abram's house, but there are people that are from other nations. There are people from other cultures and people from other lineages that are developing with him. He's from Damascus. Here's a guy from Syria. So I want to show this to you. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. One born in my house is mine heir. So this is the situation that he's facing. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the number of the stars. And it goes on there. And it says, if thou be able to number them, he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. So it's going to be this vast, tremendous thing that we're getting to. Are we going more exclusive or more inclusive?
No, we're going more inclusive.
Yeah. It's going to be as the sand of the sea, as the stars in the sky. It's getting to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
Is it getting more expansive or more restrictive?
Expansive.
More expansive. With God, everything is always more inclusive and more expansive. Or as it gets expansive, it becomes more inclusive. Mm-hmm. Or as it becomes more inclusive, it gets more expansive. It just works together so beautifully. So when it comes to Abraham's house, is it restrictive or expansive?
Expansive.
Is it exclusive or inclusive?
Inclusive.
Then let's go to Genesis chapter 18. Because this is where the first usage of the term household is used. And I wanted to share this with you so that you have a better understanding how God's love is so tremendous, and that it is always in terms of more expansive and more inclusive. So the first time we see the actual word, we saw a house before regarding Pharaoh's house, and we saw that even in Pharaoh's house, it was more expansive and more inclusive. Now we come to the word household, where here is the first usage. And in verse 19, I'm sure it's familiar with you, but I want to bring it back to verse 18. It says, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Is God thinking in terms of something that's more exclusive or more inclusive?
Inclusive.
Okay. Is he looking at something more restrictive or more expansive?
Expansive.
Okay. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. Remember that the Syrian was part of his household, right? So is his household getting more inclusive or more exclusive?
Inclusive.
Is it getting more restrictive or more expansive? Yeah. All the nations of the world are going to be blessed in him. Yeah. God is looking not only at redemption of one individual, but then he always looks to expanding worldwide. Yeah. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Boy, oh boy. And there shall, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, that, you know, all the ones that are going to keep coming and it's going to keep growing, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And what was it? That he would be the father of
many
nations, to the end that it would include all. That's one of the things, one of the confirmations of the covenant that he had made with Abraham. Beautiful. So it's always growing. It's always increasing in blessings And love is an increasing and a growing inclusive thing. Any children Abraham and Sarah had and their progeny would be part of his household, but it also indicates in this verse that there are people that were not of his lineage, servants, those that were hired to take care of the sheep, and those that were hired to take care of the goats, and those that were hired to take care of household chores and all these different things, etc. And Abraham would be the father of many nations. So when we move to the New Testament, we'll find this word household again. It appears seven times outside of the Gospels. It appears two times in Acts, one time in Corinthians, one time in Galatians, one time in Ephesians, one time in Philippians, and one time in 2 Timothy. But each usage, the indication is always something of a more expansive nature rather than restrictive. It's always more inclusive rather than exclusive. And I want to show this to you. But for brevity, I'm not going to go through all the different places it's used. You can go through it and apply the same principles and see it yourself. But I do want to go to Ephesians chapter 2. So if you'll turn with me there. Ephesians today would be in modern day Turkey, which is a Gentile area. During the period that the epistle to the Ephesians was written, it was a Gentile territory or a Gentile area. And the problem has always been in regard to the Judeans and the Gentiles that the Gentiles were considered unclean. And so you always had the Jews endeavoring, and according to the law, they should separate themselves from the Gentiles. According to the law, those that were converted out of the Gentiles to Judaism were restricted onto exactly where they could go, because in the temple there was the court of the Gentiles and they were kept separate from the court of the Judeans. So there was always this separation, always this division. But in this great revelation from Ephesians, where the great mystery is revealed, the great mystery being that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in the Gospels, his promise in Christ by the Gospel, and partakers means to share fully. So if we look at the great mystery revealed in regard to Jews and Gentiles, is it more exclusive or more inclusive?
Inclusive.
Is it more restrictive or more expansive?
Expansive.
Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2 and we'll start to look at this. Now, this is the epistle to the Ephesians, and again, the Ephesians are coming out of a Gentile background. They're born again, but they're coming out of a Gentile background. And he says to them in verse 11 of chapter 2, "Wherefore remember that you, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh made by hands," which would be the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
"That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh," or come close, right up against it, "by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace," or our peace treaty, "who hath made both
one
Jew and
Gentile.
Are we getting more exclusive or more
inclusive?
Inclusive.
More expansive or more restrictive?
Expansive.
Expansive. There it is. It's just so simple. This whole context is in terms of the great mystery revealed. This is the greatest revelation ever given to the church, the great mystery revealed, and it's talking about something that is more inclusive than exclusive. Mm-hmm. It is talking about something that's more expansive rather than restrictive. That is the context in which it's set. He had made both one. I'm in verse 14. For he is our peace who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Sure, because you had the court of the Gentiles and the court of the Jews. And there was a wall that ran right across the middle of it. And the Gentiles were not allowed to go on to the Jews' side, and the Jews weren't allowed to go on to the Gentiles. But he broke down the wall. Actually, that word broken down means obliterated. Not even leaving a stone on which you would stumble over. So it's taking that, when you take that wall out of the way, are you becoming more inclusive or more exclusive?
Inclusive.
Are you getting more expansive or more restrictive?
Expansive,
sure. It's because the things of God, and when it comes to the love of God, is always inclusive. It is always expansive. It is always growing, not receding. Beautiful. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh, there it is, that's the word obliterated, excuse me. I think it's the same word as broken. I didn't check that. But abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of two, one new man, so making
peace.
Is that being more restrictive or is that being more expansive?
Expansive,
sure. Is that being more inclusive or more exclusive?
Inclusive,
because you're bringing the Gentiles in. This is the blessing that Abraham was told about, that the blessing of Abraham, he would be the father of many nations, that in him the Gentiles would be blessed. This is a fulfillment of that great and wonderful truth that we learned concerning Abraham. Verse 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. The beautiful, I think of the beautiful teaching that Gil did at our special weekend that we sent out to you. You should be thrilled at this because it really shows God's heart and God's love is always inclusive. At one time, the Gentiles were separated. They had no way in. But God's love is always so inclusive and so expansive to bring them in. Beautiful, wonderful. It says, verse 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the what?
Household
of God. Is this term household being used as something that would show exclusivity or inclusiveness?
Inclusive,
absolutely. Is it showing something that's becoming more restrictive or more expansive?
More expansive.
It's crystal clear. It's expansive. The Jew and the Gentile together as one body. So when it comes to household of God, according to the great mystery revealed, the purpose of this epistle to the Ephesians, are we talking about something that is exclusive or more inclusive? You have to really come to the logical position that it is more inclusive group. Is it more restrictive or is it more expansive? You have to come to the conclusion that it's more expansive. God is letting more in. It's getting bigger. It's getting greater. It's bigger. It's more inclusive. The problem prior, and the reason this epistle was written, and also
in revealing the great mystery, the problem was the Jews were already an exclusive group. They didn't want anybody in, and when the Gentiles did come in, they had to be separate. Putting the Gentiles in a lesser stature. This is the reason that Peter was called on the carpet in Acts 11. Remember when he went to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, and they called him on the carpet when he got back to Jerusalem, and they said, hey, what's going on? And he said, they have the self same spirit as we did at the beginning. Is he being more inclusive or exclusive? I believe that God is no respecter of persons. He's being much more inclusive. Is it getting restrictive or more expansive? It's getting more expansive because the Gentiles are coming in. This is the reason why Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem in Acts 15. Because the Jews wanted to remain a tighter group, you know. The Gentiles need to get circumcised, remember? They went there. And even their conclusion, they won't have to get circumcised, but they need to keep such and such and such and such and such and such. Because there were all these restrictions. They didn't want to let the Gentiles in and share fully in that promise with Jesus Christ. They were lesser. The reason that Paul was attacked in Acts 21, when they thought he brought Gentiles into the temple with him. There was division, and there's division today by giving the word household a special elevated status over the great mystery revealed. You would think that the great mystery revealed in Ephesians would be the thing we'd say, this is the subject of Ephesians. This is the greatest thing, a mystery that had not been revealed until it was revealed to the Apostle Paul. No one knew this great mystery revealed, and yet we want to elevate other things above the great mystery revealed because we don't see that it is more expansive. Some people want to make it more restrictive. We don't see it as something more inclusive because we want to make it a more exclusive thing. We are in the most exclusive thing, the household of God, the body of Christ, one body. Isn't that beautiful? See, there's no middle wall of partition. No more exclusion. God's love has always been more inclusive and more expansive. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The first and great commandment still stands. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and it is ever inclusive and ever expanding. And the second is like unto it. It's equally united. It's together the same, namely, to love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets, an inclusive and an expansive love that brings people in. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful word. Thank you, Father, for the truth. And I thank you, Father, that we can continue to see how big your love is and how big it continues to get, that our hearts may follow in the same vein and we grow bigger in our love, in our understanding, in our kindness, and in the greatness of what Jesus Christ truly, truly came and did for us, that we have redemption in him.